This is the Appliance Retailer Podcast, speaking to industry leaders about the latest news, trends, and insights across the retail and appliance landscape. Hello, and welcome once again to the Appliance Retailer Podcast. I'm Seamus Byrne, and I'm joined, of course, by James Wells, publisher of Appliance Retailer. James, how are you going?
Great, Seamus. Quite a warm day here in Sydney, so interesting to have a bit of a get-together about the podcast for today.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And of course, we love to bring the biggest minds and business leaders from across the appliance retail landscape onto the show. So who have we got this week?
We have Alice Cooper from The Whitting Group. Welcome, Alice.
Hi, James. Great to be here today.
Thank you very much. Alice, could you tell us a little bit about your role and how many years you have been with The Whitting Group?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, James. I've been with The Whitting Group for 4.5 years now in a newly created role that looks after sustainability. And when I joined the business, I was in charge of really creating the function from the ground up and creating a strategy across the different pillars, including environment, responsible sourcing, awareness and education, community and charity. And I'm responsible for the execution of all these strategies. And I'm speaking to you today also from Sydney, from the beautiful Gaya Magill land, which is Northern Beaches. And I would like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people that are listening to this podcast today. I feel very lucky to live in this beautiful part of the world where I wasn't originally born.
Perfect. Thank you. And for those that aren't aware of The Whitting Group and obviously the various parts of that company, can you just maybe share a little bit of a snapshot as to the responsibilities or the groups and businesses that you have responsibilities over?
So The Whitting Group is best known for its brand Appliances Online and Whittings. Appliances Online is Australia's largest e-commerce appliance store. We deliver to 95% of Australia's population next day. The Appliances Online was launched in 2005 by our current CEO, John Whitting. Whittings is our retail footprint. We have about 17 stores across the country. And we offer a very experiential and premium experience within those retail stores. We also have a very strong logistics fleet, with Whitting Services being our logistics business. And that actually plays a key role in a lot of our sustainability initiatives, because we have direct control over our logistics, but also our reverse logistics, which is a key part in enabling some of the sustainability initiatives.
So I think it's fair to say that The Whitting Group has a reputation for making sustainability a key priority. And obviously having someone such as you in your role is also the case. Do you feel as though Whitting Group is leading in this space with other retailers supporting it? Or do you think more retailers maybe could be a little bit more proactive when it comes to maybe employing an analyst?
Look, I think Whitting Group has certainly established itself as a leading player and a more active voice within our industry over the past years. I think that overall, across the board, whether that be in the appliance industry or generally in the business world, we are definitely seeing a tightening of sustainability requirements, and that is really lifting the game for everyone. I think that is a key development that especially this year is becoming into focus even more. And I think that companies of all different sizes, shapes and forms and abilities are definitely putting a focus into this, because a lot of times now they have to.
When you talk about that tightening, can you give us a few examples or what you're seeing in your role as some of the tightening that's happening?
Yeah, look, I think sustainability is definitely not a nice to have anymore. And in the past, it was probably seen as sometimes as a marketing opportunity, a differentiator from a marketing perspective, whereas now retailers and manufacturers are really starting to be held legally and financially accountable for the environmental impact that the business activities are having. And so the conversations are really moving away from voluntary initiatives or voluntary stewardship schemes around packaging and products, and are really moving towards a more regulated or co-regulated environment. So some examples of that in our industry are definitely around e-waste and battery-related fires. There's been a huge increase in that in the recent months in Australia. And so therefore, the government is really increasing their focus on the electronics and home appliance industry. And that is resulting in more regulations and the development of mandatory stewardship schemes that are coming into effect. So in New South Wales government has announced that there will be a mandatory safe disposal and battery stewardship scheme coming into effect this year. Climate reporting has just become the law in Australia with a phased-in approach depending on your company size, your turnover and your assets, and that will include reporting on how does the business introduce governance structures around climate. What are your climate risks? How do you as a business approach strategically the understanding and managing of your climate risks? And also, you will need to understand your metrics and targets around scope 1, 2, and eventually scope 3 emissions. I think the other development that is at the forefront of a lot of our colleagues and businesses in the space is the expanded polystyrene ban that is coming into effect in Western Australia. And we're seeing a phasing out of EPS, and that is having real flow-on effects to everyone in the supply chain. Continuing on from that, in terms of packaging, the government has announced reforms on the packaging regulation, and the co-regulatory body APCO, the Australian Packaging Covenant, they have announced that they are going to introduce eco-modulated fees, which essentially are fees that are placed upon retailers and manufacturers to pay levies based on the type and the quantity of the packaging material that they're placing on the market and how problematic that packaging material is at the end of its life. So there's a lot coming our way. I think also maybe to add to that from more of the consumer's perspective, we're seeing definitely that there's an interest in sustainability. We launched at the Winning Group through Appliances Online, we launched an initiative where we're highlighting energy efficient and water efficient appliances to our customers, and we're seeing a really good response to that. We also have launched our packaging partnership program with 3 of our suppliers, EHP, Electrolux, Bosch and Beko, coming on board as partners, and we're communicating their efforts and some of their initiatives as well as ours to our customers, and we're seeing a really good response rate to that.
For retailers that maybe want to be a winning group or want to have a better sustainability program and maybe they're late to the party, are there any pathways or advice that you would give them or starting points in terms of where they might be able to take some low-hanging fruit or maybe some easy wins in their particular business? Because I think it really does feel like this will be a philosophy that we need to carry forward in this industry. And I think it can't just have one or two major retail groups leading, in my opinion.
No, and the reason why the government is introducing a lot of these schemes is because there are a lot of free riders, and that's what they want to address. And so I think what we will be seeing is that companies will need to start investigating, asking questions, and just having a really closer look at their operation. There is low-hanging fruit, and really a lot of the low-hanging fruit is what we started off with at the Winning Group. We had an existing capability and an existing offering with our product take-back and recycling, which when it was launched in 2005 was quite revolutionary. And so what we saw there was an opportunity to tap into an existing process and overlay the packaging take back and recycling program. I think that there's a lot of businesses in our industry that have existing capabilities that they can build upon. They have existing relationships where they just need to start asking questions around responsible sourcing, ethical credentials of their factories, environmental credentials of their factories, partnerships where they need to overlay some of these sustainability aspects into existing agreements.
I suppose this now leads me into the COFOS group, which you're a part of. For those that aren't aware of COFOS, could you give me a little bit of background on COFOS and then also your role on COFOS?
So the COFOS stands for the Coalition for Sustainable Solutions, and it's a newly formed industry association that has bubbled along and was in very early days since about a year and a half, with a founding board membership, which we were a part of from the start. Officially, COFOS was launched as an organization about a year ago, and it's still very formative, but it represents 70% of all the CE and HA product volume that's moving through the Australian market with the current board representation. And I guess one of the key principles behind this coalition and the organization is that there hasn't really been a representative body for the industry in terms of sustainability. And what we've seen over the past couple of years is that there's been regulatory developments where the industry didn't really have a seat at the table. And so government moved quite fast to regulate things. And there was probably not enough consideration and engagement with the industry on implications on the supply chain, which made some of the developments not very viable at all. And so there was a real realization that there's a need from a engagement with policymakers, other industry associations, but also a need for greater collaboration and partnerships within the industry to address some of these sustainability issues, because fundamentally these issues affect everyone within the industry and across the supply chain, and they're too large to be addressed by any one company alone. It really does require a systems approach, a collaborative approach. And that was a core idea behind the coalition.
Without going into too much detail, can you share maybe some of the initiatives that are on the that are being tabled at the moment, or maybe some of the initiatives that COFOS is trying to establish, or some cohesion between various parts? Because there are retailer and supplier representatives on COFOS, is that right?
That's right. There's retailers and manufacturers currently as board members. We're really going through an assessment process at the moment with a strategic consultation to get a clear understanding on the key issues that are on the front of mind for industry and our members, as well as government and other parties such as APCO, the Product Stewardship Centre of Excellence, the Waste Management and Recycling Association, B-Cycle, which is the Battery Stewardship Scheme. And so developing these relationships and building out strong points of contacts where engagement can happen has been a key focus, as well as surfacing what are the priority areas for the industry. And so I think in the next few months, we will gain a lot more clarity on exactly what initiatives we will focus on. But we do know that there needs to be a focus on packaging stewardship and product end-of-life stewardship.
So just for people that aren't aware, the upcoming ban in Perth, when does that take effect? And what do retailers need to know about the EPS ban in Perth?
So it comes into effect on the 1st of July 2025, and any product under 25 kg EPS needs to be eliminated. There's exemptions in place for products between 25 kg and 45 kg, and then there's another group of exemptions for products in the large categories above 45 kg. And so essentially what retailers and manufacturers need to know is that there are certain exemptions that need to be applied for, such as fragility testing, and it's a matter of going through the process that the government has stipulated to obtain those exemptions, and then these exemptions need to be communicated to the retail partners, who also need to keep a record of those.
So internally within the Winning Group, are there any internal initiatives or priorities for 2025? Do you have any sort of team events, or do you have any sort of programs or aims that you personally are trying to implement across your group this calendar year?
Yeah, we have a full calendar year ahead. We will continue to expand our take back recycling and circularity initiatives because we know that is going to be a key focus. So working with our supply partners, whether that's directly through that partner recycling program, but also through collaboration and initiatives through the coalition, that will be a key focus. We've also been part of like engagements with APCO on the eco-modulation to feedback and provide input into a fee structure that is fair and equitable. There's a really exciting project that we've been working on, which we're going to shed a bit more light on in the next few months, which is a white paper in partnership with Circularity for Climate, which examines the negative impacts of ozone-depleting substances in end-of-life refrigeration products and their link to carbon emissions. And that really also links in with our focus on understanding our carbon emissions and preparing for mandatory climate reporting. We're, as everyone in the industry, working through the requirements on battery stewardship, the EPS bans. But then we also have a lot of really impactful initiatives planned for our community charity and our reconciliation action plan. So we're looking to launch our Innovate RAP in the next few months. And within that, we're committing to some wonderful initiatives when it comes to making an impact in communities across the country. And I guess, and that's one of the reasons why we are involved, is that we as a business believe that we have a mandate and a commit and a responsibility to leverage the experience that we build and some of that leadership that we've built over the last few years to help have an impact on the entire ecosystem. And that leads into our involvement in COFOS, but also other industry initiatives. And my role was actually expanded in the last few months to really focus on industry impact, because we really believe that this is all interconnected and we need to tackle this as a system and collaboratively.
Yeah, do you think if you were to mark our industry out of 10 for their sustainability performance so far, how would you mark our industry? And do you think that there's room for improvement? Do you think they probably need to step it up a little bit more?
That's a really difficult question, because in sustainability, it's not really that black and white, because in some regards, our industry has some really incredibly positive impact. For example, the industry has adopted energy and water efficiency really well. There's a lot of innovation going into the products and making them efficient, and automatic dosing and implementing a microplastics filter. All of these things have a really positive impact. And I think also fundamentally, our products lift people's lives. Having a washing machine, a dishwasher, a dryer is something that contributes to people's well-being. And so there's a lot of positive impacts that our industry has, but certainly e-waste is an incredibly hot topic for Australia, because we actually generate more e-waste than any other country. I think it's about 3 times the global average. So 22 kg of e-waste per person each year, and that's 3 times the global average, and it's growing rapidly. And so there's a real need for our industry to start taking that responsibility in collaboration with government. Because, for example, when we look at Europe, a lot of the main suppliers and manufacturers that are coming into Australia, they're already part of these schemes in Europe. It's just that the government there moved a lot faster.
Alice, can you tell us a little bit about battery stewardship in particular? I don't think people normally associate the appliance industry with batteries. So can you tell us a little bit about how that impacts sustainability in particular for our industry?
The big change in the battery stewardship is that previously the focus has really been on loose batteries, whereas because of a lot of fires and risks within e-mobility, but also embedded batteries, that's what's now being captured and being targeted to be included in those mandatory product stewardship schemes. So this does become very relevant for categories such as floor care, but also smaller appliances that most of us don't even think of, like your electric toothbrush, like your headphones. Actually, most of the small electronic products have embedded batteries. And unfortunately, almost 80% of this is still going into landfill, which is having a detrimental effect on the environment. But also we're losing really finite resources here that if they can be recovered, they can be fed back into the system and remanufactured.
That's very interesting. Alice, can you tell us a little bit about APCO? You've referenced APCO a couple of times. Who is APCO and how can retailers find out a little bit more about APCO and the sustainability initiatives that they're working on?
So APCO stands for the Australian Packaging Covenant Organisation, and APCO is effectively a co-regulatory body that looks after packaging stewardship or packaging end-of-life outcomes, but also circularity of packaging in Australia. And actually, companies are mandated under the Australian Packaging Regulation to report to the government in terms of how much packaging they're placing into the market. Now, there's two options to do this. You can either report to the regulatory body in each one of your states and complete an annual report, or you become a member of APCO and complete that reporting once per year in the APCO template, and you also receive a lot of guidance on sustainable packaging from APCO. So APCO has, for example, released sustainable packaging guidelines and also targets. That includes that a certain amount of recycled content should be in your packaging. It includes that by 2030, a certain packaging should be completely phased out of the market. And so APCO previously, the membership was determined by company turnover, but going forward, what APCO has announced is that the membership and the fee essentially that members need to pay will be based on eco-modulated fees, which is essentially a fee that tariffs or taxes the amount of packaging placed on the market by the business and how problematic that packaging material is to recycle. So packaging material like soft plastic or expanded polystyrene, where we don't have very good end-of-life solutions, are going to be taxed higher. Or black shrink wrap, for example, which is still used in a lot of our supply chains for the pallets. Whereas cardboard, where there's quite a good end-of-life solution in Australia, is not going to be taxed or tariffed as high. And so what APCO does, it works with its members to fulfill their regulatory obligations, but also to help improve packaging sustainability for Australia and for the organisations.
Fantastic. Well, I think that wraps us up today, Alice. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for those insights. I'm sure people that weren't really across what the Winning Group or COFOS or also the major initiatives from all of the other organisations that are participating in sustainability programs that relate to the appliance and consumer electronics industry would have probably received a lot of information today, and hopefully they're Googling now and rapidly understanding more and more about how they could be more sustainable in this industry. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, James. And I think I would also just encourage, as maybe as a parting comment or a parting idea, that I think that idea of working closer together and gaining an understanding how these sustainability issues are very interrelated is very important, and that as a whole industry, we have an opportunity to lift our game. And so that's where organisations like the Coalition do become important. So where industry players haven't investigated becoming a part of it, they should certainly do so. Or otherwise, at the Winning Group, we do also share a lot of information around our initiatives through channels like the Appliance Retailer. And we certainly encourage everyone to engage and ask questions.
Look, thanks so much, Alice. And of course, James, you should let listeners know where they should keep up with what's going on at Appliance Retailer.
Yeah, definitely look out for the sustainability report that will be coming out soon. And yeah, look out for other podcasts also available through the Appliance Retailer Network.
Excellent. And yes, we will indeed be back with more from the Appliance Retailer podcast real soon.
This has been the Appliance Retailer podcast. Get more of the latest industry news and insights at appliancetailer.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our twice weekly newsletter.